Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Shalom, shalom, grace and peace in Jesus, everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom, friends. Shalom, shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace. Hallelujah.
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 Grace and hallelujah.
And how is everybody?
Hey, Sister Mary.
Merciful.
Hey, Brother Isaiah.
How you doing, sis?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Pretty good. Hang it in there.
That's good. Glad to hear that. Hey, Brother Joe.
Hey, Sister Mary. How is every little
Freya
thing?
Sister Shemaya, Sister Denise, everybody that's on the line, Brother Gary.
Everybody.
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 You guys, smooches.
Thank you. So very necessary, so very needed. Want to say grace and peace to everyone that's listening. Welcome to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Brother Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel, along here with my real brother Israel, running the boys. Shalom, shalom, Israelite.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom, King
Pete. Shalom, Sister Ray.
Shalom, Brother Isaiah. Shalom, Sister Mary and Sister Shemaya, Brother Gary, and all of the Facebook group I see. And I don't know who you are, but I see that you're logged on the internet. And also the new numbers that I see on Sounds of Living Water. Welcome to the Sounds of Living Water radio show. Amen.
Amen. We're going to say welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm your brother, Job Israel. And tonight we have the Spirit of Meekness Bible Study Class. The Spirit of Meekness Bible Study Class with your brother Isaiah Brown. And the precept is tonight, forever fighting your thoughts. Forever fighting your thoughts. This is that thing, forever fighting your thoughts. What do you mean? You got to bring your thoughts into subjection in order for your body to follow.
Amen.
You see, this is that thing, man. You ain't going nowhere if your head ain't right. That's why the Lord tell you He searched the heart and the reins, man. So He starts there. So that's where you got to start. You see? This is that thing. So that's why he told us, you know, about the committing adultery with a woman. If you think on it, then you're going to act on it. You got to bring your thoughts into subjection and to the obedience of Christ. Then you can go forth and bring forth the word after you bring your thoughts into the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to say welcome again, the Spirit of Meekness Bible Study Class, taught by our brother Isaiah Brown out of Peoria, Illinois. Amen. Amen.
You already knew all to do that.
Yeah, brother. I already know that you got a doozy set up, man. So let's get to it. So with that being said, now, you know, without further ado, those of us both near and far, we turning this over to our brother Isaiah Brown.
Amen, amen, amen. Shalom, shalom, grace and peace, my brothers and sisters, and in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Brother Isaiah, and I'm bringing a precept tonight that is called Forever Fighting Your Thoughts. And before we go any further, do I have a reader tonight?
Yes.
What's up, bro?
Not much.
I missed your last precept last night. I had to talk to Joe. I didn't want to mess it up, man. I was so dang gone tired, it was ridiculous. I didn't want to chop up the lesson, man, so I apologize. Make sure I'll be there next time, next week. Amen. All praise to the Father, Jesus' name. All right, brothers and sisters, we have a really interesting precept that we will be dealing with tonight. And just in case we have any new listeners coming in, the name of the precept is called Forever Fighting Your Thoughts. It's because it's one thing we need to realize. If you call yourself a servant of God, you know, Paul told us, you know, in the book of Romans chapter 7, it's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. The exact same thing with us. You know, a lot of things that we used to do it in the streets before we got into the word of God, we don't find ourselves doing those things no more. Because now we have an even tougher battle, and that's the battles that's in our thoughts. Yeah. It's because if you call yourself a servant of God and you try to walk this thing right, the biggest battle you're going to have is the things that come in your head. That's going to be a battle that you're going to have to fight with until the day you go back into the ground. You know, you might have envy, you might have strife, you might have debate, you know, so you might have arrogancy, you know, you might have lust, you might have even inordinate affection. You might even have adultery. Who knows what you have in your heart? But the whole thing is that we need to learn not to entertain those thoughts. And even the things that do tend to peak up in our thoughts or in our head, we got to learn how to fight those things. We got to learn how not to entertain them things. So in order to understand the things we're not supposed to be thinking on or entertaining, then we have to do a self-check on ourselves and less point of fingers, less debating, less strife, get rid of whispering and backbiting. You know what I'm saying? Because if you do those things, there's no way possible you can get a full-blown understanding on the things you need to get done with yourself. So that's the precept tonight. The name of the precept is called Forever Fighting Your Thoughts, a battle we're going to always be in until the day we go back to the ground. So I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother Nakoma will read whatever the Father put on his heart. So I'm going to ask all the sisters, amen, to please cover your head, and ask all the brothers to please uncover your head. Let's stand up and face east towards Jerusalem, and let's pray in. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. My son, if thou come to serve the Lord, prepare thy soul for temptation. Set thy heart aright, and constantly endure, and make not haste in the time of trouble. Cleave unto him, and depart not away, that thou mayest be increased at thy last end. Whatsoever is brought upon thee, take cheerfully, and be patient when thou art changed to a low estate. For gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. Believe in him, and he will help thee. Order thy way aright, and trust in him. Ye that fear the Lord, wait for his mercy, and go not aside, lest ye fall. Ye that fear the Lord, believe him, and your reward shall not fail. Ye that fear the Lord, hope for good and for everlasting joy in mercy. Have read Ecclesiasticus chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was a good one, bro. Amen. Amen. I'm glad the Father put that in your heart, man, to bring that one out tonight. All praise to the Father, y'all. All right, brothers, sisters, it's time for us to get into this precept. You know, this very touchy topic precept, you know, about our thoughts and forever fighting our thoughts. You know, this lesson, you know, it teaches itself. You know, I really don't have to say too much or nothing. But, you know, for the sake of time, I might say a little thing or two. Because we're about to get into this precept, you guys. So grab your Bibles. If it's possible, grab a pen and paper, you know, so we can get into this thing together. It's because we really need to understand that we need to fight. We need to fight the things that come in our heart, you know. And to be honest, man, I already know. That's why I'm always, I try to keep the battle between myself, you know, and just keep it and try to understand the things that I need to do to make myself a better servant. Because, you know, man, I'm not going to be no super scholar Hebrew or anything like that. It's that because I fight the, you know, I'm fight with my thoughts. I fight with my thoughts and I try not to entertain thoughts. But, you know, it's easier said than done a lot of times. Took a hell of L's, a hell of losses with the thoughts that came across my head. You know what I'm saying? The entertaining thoughts I have. But the whole thing is that, you know, even being a servant of God, you might entangle yourself with other things in the Bible and not even pay attention to things we're supposed to be paying attention to, ourselves. So this precept tonight is just to really buckle down and focus on yourself. And to focus on the things that you allow to come across in your head. That's what we're getting with tonight. Because this is going to always be a forever battle. And in order for us to have a chance, we need to understand that the thoughts that come across our head is a forever battle. Let's find out what Paul said about this. Everybody, let's go into the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8. We in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and I will cut you up in that series, Brother Nakomi. So when you get it, go ahead and read.
2 Timothy chapter 4, starting at 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
So Paul has just let us know that, hey, man, I'm about to die. I fought a good fight. I fought good. I fought hard. And I have a crown at that appointed time I'm going to get because I fought. Fought what? What did Paul fight to get this righteous crown at that day? Let's find out what he fought. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 14. In the book of Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We're going to read verses 14 through 17, bro. The book of Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 17. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Romans chapter 7 and 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Oh, so now we have an understanding on the battle that Paul fought. He fought the good fight with sin. The sin that the things that came in his heart, the things that came in his mind, those are the things he fought. Because it simply says in verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And then it turned around and said, if then I do that which I would not, I consider unto the law that is good. And then Paul had to come right back around and tell us what's going on with him. Now then, it is no more I that do it. So them things that he's slacking, that he know he's supposed to be doing, is not the outer appearance. It's the things that's going on in the inside. Because I don't do that stuff no more. But sin that dwelleth in me. It's not an outside thing no more. It's all in the inside now. It's them thoughts now. Do I have control of my anger in my heart? Do I have control over envy in my heart? Do I have control over lust in my heart? Do I have control over if adultery comes in my heart? Am I stopping those thoughts with whispering? Am I stopping those thoughts with backbiting? Am I stopping them thoughts with any type of wickedness? We just leave it like that, any type of wickedness. As a servant of God, what are you doing to get those thoughts out your heart? Because this is going to be the forever fight that we all going to be in. It's because we need to understand that the inside is what God is looking for. And even David understood that. Let's look at what David said about this matter. Let's go in the book of Psalms chapter 51. Because the Lord is looking for something. And it's something that we need to understand as well. The book of Psalms chapter 51. And we're going to read verses 3 through 7. The book of Psalms chapter 51, verses 3 through 7. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Psalms 51, starting at the 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
All right, now, Paul, time out one second. Now we understand that David also understood the same thing that Paul understood. You know what I'm saying? So Paul understood that it was somewhere him that did this stuff, but it was a thing that dwelleth in me. But David is turning around and telling you, man, Lord, thou, you desire truth in the inward parts. So, of course, the Lord desire us to think right and desire truth from our head, from our heart, excuse me. From the minds and from our heart, that's what the Lord desired the truth from. And Paul understood that's what his battle was at. From the inside. So David knows this is an inside thing. Paul knows that this is an inside thing. Somebody else knows this is an inside thing as well. Let's find out who else know that this is an inside thing. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 10. Because now we're getting a better understanding that it's the fight of the heart. It's the fighting of the thoughts. It's the fighting of getting as much wickedness as you possibly can out your head. It's because I was always wondering about this thing right here. Why did Jesus say this? He walked this thing perfect, but why? Why didn't he announce himself to be good? Let's see if we can get an understanding of this. We're in the book of Mark chapter 10, and read verses 16 through 23, and I'll cut you off if necessary. The book of Mark chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Mark chapter 10, starting at 16. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. And when he was gone forth unto the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.
Now one second. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. So remember, but Jesus did this thing right. He was one mind with the Father. His thoughts was pure and right in the eyesight of the Father. But the reason why the Lord just considered himself not to be good is because I'm in his flesh. Ain't no telling what this flesh want to do. But the reason why the Lord had his flesh in control is because his thoughts was one with the Father. It's because it's the inside. Y'all hear me say it all the time. If your mind is screwed up, then your body is, you know, remember, the body is already screwed up. If your mind is screwed up with the body, then you're just a dead man walking. But in order to have a fighting chance at salvation, you have to think better. You got to think righteously. You got to be in your book. You got to start to understanding what's written in the pages of the book. You got to start thinking right. And once you start thinking right, now you can put control over that body. So if that body wasn't getting a sin, you can beat it. If it's trying to get into adultery, you can beat it down. If you're trying to do a straight-up fist fight off of madness and folly, you can beat it down. But the only way to beat that stuff down is that you got to think right. You have to think right. Because the flesh not going to do it because there's nothing good about this flesh. It is going directly to the lake of fire at the appointed time. That's not going to stand when the Lord come back. But when the Father be here, ain't no flesh going to be here. Because everybody is so intrigued with entertaining the flesh. Well, I got to be this, I got to be that. You know what I'm saying? I got to look like this, I got to look like that. It just shows you how carnal-minded we think. Because a lot of people are so entertained with keeping the body all nice and clean. Like, for example, fringes. You know, ain't no wrong with fringes. But a lot of people think when you wear fringes, you're considered righteous, just, and holy. But that's just a clothing. Your heart is what the Lord is looking for. The thoughts that's coming out of your heart, what's going on in your head, that's what I'm looking for. That's why when Samuel went to go look for the next king of Israel, the Lord said, man, I don't look at me and how you look at them. Men look for the outer appearance. I'm searching for the heart. And that's how we all supposed to be. We all supposed to be trying to get the mind right. But a lot of us is like, look at this body. Why look at this body? It's going to the fire anyway. It's not going to stand. So instead of worrying so much about the outer appearance, let's start to do better with the inside. Verse 19, go ahead and read.
19. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?
Hey, so what did we just learn here? We just learned that the rich man, even though he kept the commandments, and what did the Bible say unto him? What did it say? In verse 20 it says, And he asked and said unto him, Well, hold up. No, verse 21, it says, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him. So, of course, the Lord loved him because he kept the commandments, but it was one thing he was lacking. And he told him, Hey, man, get to the things you have, man, get out to the poor and bear your cross and follow me. He couldn't because the battle that was going on in the rich man's head was his selfishness. He was selfish. He didn't want to give all that stuff to the poor. He was selfish.
Amen.
Greedy. So the rich man was, the book said he was saddened, right? So the rich man was saddened, upset, distressed, filled with pain, hurt, a wound, simply because his thoughts were selfish. His battle wasn't the royal ten in his heart. His fight in the battle was greed. Let's look at the battle that the rich man didn't even try to fight against. Let's go in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now let's look at the battle the rich man wasn't even aware of. He went away sorrowful, but he's supposed to have been happy. You mean tell me it was one thing he lacked? God said, I mean the Lord said he loved him. Because God said he loved those that keep the commandments and do them. Gave up salvation because of greed. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10. The book of 1 Corinthians, I said 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Did you get it, bro? What the book say?
1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at the 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Didn't the book say he went away sorrowful? Because he had many possessions? But verse 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drawn men in destruction and perdition. So you mean to tell me if that rich man would have did, if he would have went on and followed Christ, he would have had a way to get past this? The stuff we just read in verse 9? But money, it's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money and the things people do with it. Because if I know a person that, if I know somebody that loves money, I kind of see what kind of get myself away from. Because ain't no telling what you'll do if you love money, because for the right price, ain't no telling what you'll do if you love money that much. But verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith. Oh, so it's like reading a rich man. He just erred from the faith. The Lord said he loved him and he do well, but it's one thing you lack. The love you have for that money. Now let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 28. So this is the battle that this man, that the rich man had. It wasn't the royal ten because God said he loved him. God said he loved those that keep the commandments and do them. So he didn't have a problem with that. But the Lord looked through his heart and seen his battle. His battle was greed and lust after money. That was a battle that he didn't that he wasn't fighting. But if you would have fought that battle, then you would have been with me. In the book of Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28, and we go read just one verse, 25. Book of Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25. Let me get a bro, what the book say? Just that one verse.
Proverbs 28 and 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat.
Hold on one second. That's a good one, but I think I put the wrong thing in there. Hold on one second. Because this is a short lesson. There's no need to take anything out.
Take your time, bro.
I sure am. I'm sorry about that, guys. So, hey, Sister Red, you don't have to, the last one we just did, sis, you don't have to put that one, okay? That's the wrong one.
Okay.
Okay, amen. Let's go to the, okay, let's go to book of Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Book of Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. One second. Get that. The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 19. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
You said book of Mark 4, 19?
Yes, sir.
And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful.
Oh, choke the word. What up out of you? So let me tell you, that one thing that rich man, just that one thing that battle that he had with the riches and the deceitful lust of riches and gain. Because he denied the word of God and went away sorrowful, it's like it just choked the word of God from him, and he became unfruitful. That's why the Lord said, man, it's going to be hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom because they don't want to give up the stuff they got.
We.
So, now we need to come to this conclusion now. So now we understand that we're in a forever battle. We got these thoughts. We got to always fight. You know, we just seen what happened if you don't fight them battles. You know, that's gonna choke the word of God from you because you who knows what kind of lust or desires you have in your heart. You know, and Paul also told us that, you know, it's no longer I that do it, but it's the sin that dwelleth in me. You know, and he, you know, it got to the point that his thoughts must have been so jacked up that he called himself a wretched man he is. And he also said, man, Lord, who going to deliver me from the body of this death? So even if some of the thoughts that come in our heart lays in God's grace and mercy. So this lesson in condemning people, all I'm saying is just right here, just do the best you can to fix them thoughts up. Right?
Man.
So now, If you constantly judging yourself, and if you constantly judging your own thoughts, then what can happen? What can happen to you if you start to judge yourself and judge your own thoughts? Let's find out. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, and we can read one verse, bro. Verse 31. Because if you start to judge your own heart, and you judge your own mind, you judge your own thoughts, and you judge your own ways, then something can happen to you. Let's find out what can happen to you once you start to understand the battle that you're in, and the matter of fact, the forever battle that you're going to be in. What can happen when you start to focus on yourself and focus on your own thoughts? Go ahead and read.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Now God can work with you. Because instead of you looking at everybody else and what's going on behind the fence, now you're focusing on yourself. Now you're focusing on your thoughts. Now you're watching where you walk. Now you know what I'm saying? Before you walk through a door, now you're looking through the window. You know what I'm saying? Now you're keeping the battle on yourself. Now you know what your shortcomings are. Now you know the things what entice you. Now you understand the things that you lust about. But before you do anything, you know you got to take that battle into your heart. Because that's where it's going to start before you try to execute anything. But the Lord said, man, hey, you won't be judged. I will not judge you if you judge yourself. So we need to be judging our own selves and judging our own thoughts and judging our own ways. Instead of constantly pointing a finger looking at other people. Keep the battle in between yourself. So another thing we need to realize, too, is that, you know, matter of fact, I ain't going to say nothing. Let's just go there. Let's go back into the book of Mark. Let's go to the book of Mark chapter 7. It's because once we start to judge ourselves and we start judging our own ways, then this can happen to us. We're in the book of Mark chapter 7. Pick it up at 17. You get it? Go ahead and read.
Mark 7, starting at 17. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enter into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man defileth the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man.
So now we understand. Oh, that's all we need, bro. So now we understand the things that we battle with in our heart. I don't care who you are. These are things that we battle with. So this is a good thing. Let's take this thing out. Let's go back up to 21. It said, for from within, out of the heart of men, perceive evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. This is the things that enter in into our thoughts. If we don't fight those thoughts, then there's a chance that it might play out and attack us. We might end up doing some of this stuff. If you entertain them thoughts, you're going to might end up doing some of this stuff. I might just say the same thing twice. I'm lost in the sauce right now. Excuse me. But these are the things that enter in into the heart. It say anything about hold on, let me see. It say. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. It did not say that which cometh out of the evil man, that defileth the man, or the unrighteous man, or the wicked man. No, it said all men. These are the things we have to fight against. These are the things we have to take a controlled battle, a battle on, get out of our hearts. And I know it can be hard now. Anybody say this is easy, it's a dang lie. Who knows what's going to come up in our heart? But it's up to us to do everything we can in our power to beat it out of our head. and do the best we can not to even think of them thoughts. Some might be easy. For some, you might kind of like. But in all, if we don't want to offend God, we need to do all we can to get it out of our system. So judge yourself, judge them thoughts that's coming out of your heart, and fight that stuff. Because it's there. And it said nothing about a wicked man. It said man. Man is absolute. Talk about woman, too, because she's also part. She's just one man. It's her, too. A woman and a man. These are the things that enter into our hearts. We got to beat it down. Judge yourself. Judge them thoughts. And do all you can to think more like a servant of the Most High God and the things that pleases him. So now we understand we have a forever battle we're going to be in. Because let's find out more about this thing. Let's go to Book Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 22 through 24. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. When you get it, go ahead and read, bro.
Ephesians 4, starting at 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust.
Okay, now hold on one second. Okay, now the book said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So if you tell you put off the old conversation, then it just shows you where your heart was at with that conversation before you got into the word. But that former, that old conversation that you used to have with those thoughts that came out of your heart, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We got to put that off. Go ahead and read.
23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen. So that's how we do it. So we got to be renewed in our mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, I'm not going to be no super scholar or super Hebrew with this. That old man and that old thoughts and the old conversation is going to do everything it possibly can to try to come back. Because that's why the precept is called forever fighting your thoughts. Because if it didn't come back, then there's no need to even have this precept out. Forever fighting our thoughts. But the book is telling us, is upping us up on how we do this. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The word of God. That's how you start to get your mind right. To start thinking like how he wants you to think. And that's in true righteousness and holiness. So let's go to the book of Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read just one verse, verse 2. Book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Romans chapter 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Go ahead and read verse 3.
For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so barely according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
For one, so we got a lot of stuff here, right? First of all, measure of faith. So not everybody's faith is as strong as others, for one. But it says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Ain't no telling what's going to come across your mind. Ain't no telling what you're going to do. You in this flesh, who the hell knows? We don't go out and get too crazy now. But who knows what's going to come across your mind or what type of trial and tribulation you got to go through? Who knows? You don't think you all highs and pies and holy and think you somebody special and you don't think you ain't going to go through nothing. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's how we do this thing. And let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. First Corinthians 15 and verse 31. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
First Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily.
Oh, that's good enough, bro. John Kenneth said, he says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. So that means once you start to be renewed in your mind, when you start thinking like a servant of the Most High God, when you're judging yourself and judging your own thoughts, then that man that you used to be, that man is going to start to die daily because you're not entertaining those thoughts like you used to anymore. You're starting to fight them thoughts. You're starting to fight better. You're starting to try to think of better ways on how you can do as a servant of God. You're going to start to try to think of more righteous things. And dealing with yourself, knowing who you are, and definitely, your talents, and your work in the vineyard, and loving your brother, that becomes a forever job. So when you fight them thoughts, what's ever left, you're going to fight them thoughts, but then at the same point of time is you're not going to even have time to even entertain those thoughts because you're going to be so busy in the vineyard. Or if you get talents, you're doing the work of whatever you do, whatever the Lord put on your heart, if you do that to your might, then you won't have time to think on them thoughts. You'll be too busy trying to do what the Lord told us to do. So that means that man is going to start to die daily. So now we understand that we have a forever battle in our heart. Now we understand that, you know, you can't entertain those thoughts. So if we're constantly judging ourselves, and if we're constantly looking at ourselves, then what shouldn't we be doing? What are the things that should stop if we want to do better at fighting the thoughts of our heart? What should we be doing? Or matter of fact, what should we stop doing? Or don't even have a part in doing? Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Read the book of Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 9. Isaiah 58, just that one verse 9. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
Isaiah 58 and 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity.
Oh, so that means if we doing what we supposed to be doing as a servant of God, if we trying to take care of the business, you know what I'm saying? That means you have no room to be putting forth the finger, doing this, they doing that. You know, because you'd be too busy worried about yourself. You'd be too busy fighting your own thoughts. You'd be too busy judging yourself. You'd be too busy trying to get yourself into the kingdom instead of worrying about what other people are doing. You're going to understand that the words that you speak is going to come from the heart first. So then if it comes from the heart first, then of course you're going to understand that, hey, I can't be speaking vanity. I can't be speaking things that don't profit nothing. So that's going to really stop you from doing the things that you like to do anyway. Because now you're thinking with your mind. Now you're starting to think more like a servant of the Most High God. You don't have time for foolishness. But in order for you to understand that you don't need to be pulling forth a finger and speaking vanity, then you've got to be communing in your own heart to understand that you need to be fighting your own battles and stop pointing a finger and worry about what other people are doing. It's something else we shouldn't be doing either. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 11. In the book of Proverbs chapter 11, and we're just going to be one verse 13. It's because we know we're not supposed to be speaking vain things. We know we're not supposed to be putting forth the finger. Let's find out what else. When you get it, go ahead and read. Proverbs 11 and 13. The book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 11, 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter.
Right, so then that's another thing you don't even have to worry about. If you're too busy worrying about yourself and judging yourself and understanding the things that you fight daily, then you're not gonna have no time to be worried. You're not gonna be having no time to be doing all this gossip. You're not gonna be having time to be a talebearer, revealing secrets. You're not going to have time for that stuff. But when you see people being a talebearer, if you see a person revealing secrets, then it shows you that person really ain't focused on itself or even understand that that's probably one of the battles that they got to fight. So let's be mindful of that. Now let's go on to the last spot. Let's go in the book of Proverbs chapter 16. This is the last spot, the book of Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 28. The book of Proverbs 16 and 28. And when you get it broke, go ahead and read.
Proverbs 16 and 28. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends.
So now, these are also things that we see amongst brethren and sisters, but just in general. It's because the reason why it's so easy for people to do what we just read in verses 28, is that a forward man soweth strife and a whisperer separateth chief friends, because that person, there's no way in hell that person is looking at themselves and understanding the things that they don't even understand, that that's a battle that they have to fight within themselves. Because, you know, you got to fight against gossiping. You got to fight against putting forth the finger. You got to put a fight against becoming a talebearer, revealing secrets, a whisperer. You also, we didn't get into it, you even got to watch debating and fighting with the fist. We got to understand that the Bible even said that the spirit in us lusteth to envy. We have all these things that we need to be focused on, because it's going to enter into your thoughts first. and after adding to your thoughts, it's only a matter of time before you start to act on it. But in order for you to act on it is if you're not girded up in the Word of God, putting on the whole plate of righteousness. So that's my precept tonight, and it's called Forever Fighting Your Thoughts, and I thank y'all for your time.
Short and sweet, directly to the point.
Absolutely.
Directly, straight to the point. Straight to the point. I just, I want to read this here, man, because this is, I want to read Romans 8. And I add, you know, a little bit in there, man, that it says, you know, about fighting that mindset, to fighting that spirit, you know, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So they're not walking after the flesh because they brought their mind into the Spirit. They following the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life, in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind, spiritually minded, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So if we don't be mindful of the law, if we don't bring our thoughts into subjection, we're going to be an enemy of God. It said the carnal mind, enmity against God, hatred, warring against God, not flesh, God. It's warring against God, nothing else. You see that? That's the problem that people have. Well, they don't know who they really got a problem with. They really got a problem with God. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subjected to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So if your mind is not subjected to the law of God, you got a problem with God. You ain't got a problem with flesh. Your problem is with Jesus. Your problem is with the Father. That's your problem. It says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither it indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh can what? Not please God, because they haven't brought their minds into subjection to God or the law. So they ain't trying to please God. They don't care nothing about that. They got a problem with God. You see, so this thing is way deeper. Man, it's this thing, man, when we start looking at our carnal minds, Jack, and bringing those things under subjection, got issues. Not doing it. Too busy in the flesh. Can't see the Spirit because you're in the flesh. And then when the Spirit is reminded, or you, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost bring in and remembers that you in your flesh, you got a problem with God. See that? It was never about the prophet. It was never about that preacher. It was never about that person that told you you were sinning against God. It was always you and God. It was always you and God. So don't get this confused that you think that you're sinning against anybody else in this world. You're sinning against God. And your problem is with the Most High and His words. So because of the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subjected to the law of God, neither can it be. Then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be the spirit dwell in you, so the spirit don't dwell in you if you're in the flesh. You ain't got the spirit. You carnal. So it's no way. See, he said it's impossible. It's no way the spirit is in you if you carnal. You got to bring your spirit into to subjection of God. He said, but they are in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so, that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit, he is none of his. Case in point. That's the end of the story right there. So our thing is that we got to make sure that our minds never allow our bodies to fall into the flesh, or we'll find ourselves none of his. We'll find ourselves an enemy of God. We'll find ourselves hating those things that are good. We'll find ourselves hating those things that are holy. We'll find ourselves hating the prophets and all that pertain to them. All because we're in the flesh. You won't have nobody to blame but yourself, because he told you what to do. No excuses. Not here. Too far up the food chain to sit up and say, oops. Ain't no excuses here. This lesson his brother just brought, ain't no excuses. Jesus read that man's mind, and he knew that he had a problem with covetousness. He pushed the issue. What else should I do? I've done these things since I was a child. Sell everything you got. He had mercy on him. Nah. Jesus is all in our heads. Ain't no way we, no matter where you go, there you are. So we got to bring our thoughts into subjection to the law. If we don't, we're enemies. And you are enemy from the inside out. And your works going to testify of it. And there ain't nothing you can do about it, because all those things are being written from your thoughts to your actions. Great precept, bro. Excellent. Excellent precept. Excellent precept. Praise be the Lord, brother.
Amen, amen. Bro. Amen.
Anyone else have any questions or comments?
It was just a good lesson, like you say, a self-check lesson. And Brother Isaiah, you're right. We do have to watch what we think, because even when you don't want to think it, it's there. You know what I'm saying?
You are so right, Sister Mary.
Oh.
You are so right. Do you have anyone else? Shalom.
Yeah, I want to add to. Go ahead, Nehemiah. I'm gonna hold up. Go ahead.
Yeah, very excellent principle about, you know, it's all about how we think. He said we gotta be renewed by our mind, and that's the only way you can change. That's the reason he giving you all this information. And then he proved to us that you can defeat. People say we can't defeat the enemy and these things. But when Jesus got baptized, and then when he went to the wilderness, he didn't use, and people going to say, well, Jesus could do wonders and all kind of stuff. But when he went into the wilderness with the devil, all he did was spit three scriptures at him, and he went away. So all he used was the word of God. Same thing he's given us. You can, we can overcome all this by all the things. And that's why I say with all you're getting, get an understanding. And then apply these things to your life. But the other good part I like about it is it was talking about ourselves, how you think about yourself. And saying, and you think too highly of yourself, and we always focus on other people instead of ourselves. That's another way that's going to humble you to keep you off of things. So I would like to read something, because you use one of my favorite scriptures. He said, if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But I'm going to 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to pick it up at 8. 1 John chapter 1 and 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, don't why are we thinking highly of ourselves, man? You say, no, you got to come. You say, no, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But listen what he says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he said, if we confess, if I keep my focus on me instead of everybody else, he said he gonna cleanse me from all things, all unrighteousness. But I got to keep the focus on me and judging myself. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if you understand the word reveals what you are. He reveals what all mankind is. And you understand, I ain't as great as what I think I am. And that takes your focus off of that should take your focus off of everyone else. And you say the thing I got to fix is my mind and my thinking. In what I do, in my actions. So, great precept all around, far as it brings to that we got to change our mind. But on the other side of that, you got to confess to who you are. You got to keep judging yourself and quit trying to judge everyone else. This whole thing is about your salvation. So why is you focused on everyone else? Great precept. I yield the mic. Great precept, brother.
Amen, bro. Great word. You know, another thing too is, you know, hold up, brother Joe. You have something to say too, right? You have something else you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to add this 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Okay.
It says, to the weak I became as weak, that I may gain the weak, and I may all things to all. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So people think, you know, when you weak, that means you being all humble and gentle. No, that's not the weak. That's the mighty. When you walking in meekness and kindness and you mortifying the flesh, that's the mighty. The weak is the loud and the obnoxious. And those that don't have their spirit under control, they call weak. So Paul said, you got to be all things to all men. And so he said, that's exactly what he is. But he conscious of himself. Watch this. He said, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receive a part. So run that ye may obtain. Every man strive for the master's temper in all things. See, you gotta be understanding of all things. You can't just be super holy. You gotta understand that everybody you meet ain't gonna receive that. You gotta be able to preach the gospel in a bar or ready to. Been there, done that more than once. Shut the whole thing down. The whole bar was there on our side of the bar. We was all in the book. Figure that one out. Anywhere. You got to be to the weak, to the strong. And it said, And this I do. I ain't saying go out there to the bars and all that stuff, y'all. That was some time ago. It says, now ye that they which run in a race run all, but receive a prize, so run that they might obtain. Every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so I run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one who beateth the air. What is he fighting? What is he fighting? Don't say the devil. That's not the fight. It is not the devil. He tell you right here in 29 and 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That at least by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Whoops, we don't want that. Why? Because you better know what you're doing here. You got to keep your mind under subjection. You got to keep your spirit under subjection. In order to bring your body under subjection, you can find yourself cut off, even though you know the truth. That's the worstest kind of judgment, that you knew better and you chose not better. You knew holiness and you chose wickedness. Paul said, no, I'm keeping my body under subjection, and I'm bringing it into subjection, at least by any means. When I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That ain't a conversation not a man one of us want to have, because that's the lake of fire. God forbid. So yeah, bro. I can't find that scripture, man. I was looking for it. It says,
oh, what did it say, bro?
It says, after you bring your mind into the obedience of Christ, then you go and preach on the others. After you bring yourself into the obedience, you got to first bring yourself in obedience. You ain't in obedience. You ain't doing the will of God. Don't even play with it. Don't even play. Don't even act like you about it. Just do like he said. You know, like we were talking earlier. Just do like he said. Either be cold or be hot. But ain't no in between, because if you make up your mind, he's going to turn you into a reprobate where you cannot find yourself back. That's that conversation. That's what happens when we don't keep our minds in subjection, that we end up reprobating. Now, you can't be saved. Now, nobody can't save you. Nobody can't deliver you. Because a reprobate won't hear the word of God or correction. It's not humble. It's full of pride, like you was talking about. We got to be careful, man. Our minds are terrible things to waste. That's a true saying. Whew. Yeah. Love this one, man. Love this one. Big ups.
Amen, amen. Hold on one second. Is this it? Let me see. I got one, too, that just popped in my head. I'm going to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17 and 9.
Oh, yeah. For real. There it is.
Like right here. Like, this is the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. It said, the heart is desperately above, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when you look at this, the Bible said that, you know, that your mind is deceitful above all things. and it is also desperately wicked. Who can know what's on another man's mind? Who can know what's on another man's mind? Who can know it? So this is also another thing that we need to understand as well, is that it says, that's why, you know, man, how can I think about this scripture? But I'm glad we're talking about it right now. You know, that just adds the icing on the cake in this precept about even the things that you guys put on the table about forever fighting your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Because if you understand that your mind is deceitful and desperately wicked, then that means we have a forever battle we're going to be in. And even going back into the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, when now we understand how crucial and how important it was. He said he fought a good fight. That we shouldn't be taking that lightly. We should not be taking when he said he fought a good fight, we should not take that lightly. We should understand that he really meant that. Because we added that on to the book of Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 17, where he said, man, it's no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. That's my problem now. And he got to the point that, you know, and even we get to that point sometimes that we're like, man, oh, ratchet man or oh, ratchet woman that I am. Who should deliver me from the body that is death? Because at times this is what his mind is at. But the Lord is also giving us the when the coming brought to the table, when Jesus was baptized, you know, he was out there in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But he used three scriptures and he defeated the devil. So that's even showing us, man, that even though we do have these things that we battle with, the Lord never said it was going to be easy, but he also never said it could not be done. It can be done. You can have your trials and tribulations. But I'm glad Nakumi brought that to the table because that is very interesting. It's because he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and beat the devil with three scriptures. Shit, man. So what have I been doing?
Right.
I've been taking L's like crazy. Or maybe it's something that we don't want to give up, though. You see what I'm saying? Because it's obvious it can be done, but just dropping the pride, maybe it's something we don't want to give up. That's another precept in itself as well. Buy you the mic with that.
Bro, I think you might want to read that 10.
Oh, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, Jeremiah 17. I'm going to read into that. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deaf. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. No matter where you go that you are, you ain't going nowhere. He said, I got you. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I try you, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Hebrews 10, 3 and 12 say, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So he's looking at our minds to see if we'll leave him.
Say it again, Paul. What you just
say? Bruh, look at here. He said, this is Hebrews chapter 3 and 12. He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. So the Lord is searching the heart and the reins to see if you'll depart from him. He try you to see if you with him or you not. That's why he said, if you in the flesh, your heart is enmity against God, nobody else. That's your problem. And this is the conversation. He said, I'm in your head. I'm seeing if you with me or if you not. If you are unbeliever or do you really believe? Do you believe in the living God or do you not? But he said, take heed. This is a warning. Because he called it an evil heart. We got to be careful of them thoughts shooting through our heads. Because we'll find ourselves departing from the living God, man. The living God, the one that we said died for our sins, him, the one that our forefathers put on the cross, him, the one that was beat for us, had his flesh torn apart for us, that carried all our sins and our griefs on the cross, him, he the one that said that. Then he also said, with their mouth they do honor me, but their heart is far from me. Their heart departed from him. So, what's up, bro? I'm good.
Hello.
I'm good, man. I appreciate this one, bro. I appreciate this. This here is one of those, thank you very, very much. Just sit here and just be like you on eggshells, man. He tell you to walk circumspectly. You got to be very careful before the Most High God. It's his blood. Nobody else's. And when we stand against him, it's his blood that's crying from the earth. Just like Abel did. That's why your brother Nakomi taught us that. Abel to Jesus, one and the same. Jesus' blood is crying to the Father.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Great precept. Love that. I think I need a bath. So any more comments or questions or comments? If not, bro, you got any closing comments on this?
Well, like I said, do the best you can to serve God. You know our hearts. You know he know what we can do, what we cannot do. You know what I'm saying? This priest that was brought forth, you know, it was for me. You know what I'm saying? I brought this for me. You know, but, hey, if you feel me knocking, hey, let the precept in. You know what I'm saying? So the precept, just understand what your shortcoming is. Understand your shortcoming. Understand them thoughts that come inside your heart. Understand, know who you are. Know you're a dirtbag, know you're a filthy rag, you're falling short, and understand the things that the Lord show us that make us fall short, and do the best we can to fight and do a battle to eliminate those thoughts. It's because if Paul said, I fought a good fight, that lets you know Paul took some L's. Paul took some losses. He wasn't perfect. But even though when he fell down hard, he got back up. Why do you think it was written in the Bible that the Lord used Satan to buffet Paul? What did God say? It make you a better servant.
Amen.
Man, that just brought Bible OCD on a whole nother level.
Say that.
I'm sorry, man. You started in the book of Romans, man. You started this, bro. When you went in the book of Romans. You know, who knows? The only thing I'm going to say is this right here. Do the best you can to serve God. With all your might, do the best you can to serve him. We're going to love one another. We're going to take care of the poor. We're going to visit the fatherless. And we can also do those and do just to those in need. We go do those things. And also what we go try to our best to do and through the grace of God and hope that we do it, is that we're going to do everything we can to fight these battles and fight these thoughts. And if you take an L, then, hey, ask for forgiveness and just try to fight and do better next time. Because God is a just and a fair God.
If you trying your best to do right, he going to work with you. If he see you smacking your head, twisting your head, y'all know, y'all, I know I'm not crazy, and I know I'm not the only one that do it. Sometimes you just got to shake your head like, ah, I ain't on that. The Lord see it. And he see that we is at least trying to do the best we can to serve him. So that's what I'm saying, man. We all just do the very best you can to serve God. Do the very best you can to serve him. Do the very best you can to obey him. And do the very best you can to fight a good fight with your thoughts. And hopefully maybe we'll be able to meet Paul and have the crown that's given to him, the same thing given to us. And I yield mic with that.
Amen, bro. I thank you. And Brother Nehemiah, man, great job reading. Great job. That Ecclesiastes is a bomb.
I know, right? I was like, I was drinking my coffee. I'm almost choked on. Like, man, where did he get this from? What was scripture that? He said Ecclesiastes. I'm like, damn, I'm supposed to get that book anyway.
That was the heater. You know, man, the simplicity of Christ is a beautiful thing, man. That's all it is. That's all it is. The milk of the word, brother. After you done got all that meat, you still just need the milk of the word, the simplicity of Christ. And that's all they say. All this stuff that your brother Nehemiah, myself, and all these brothers bringing all this stuff, right? You know, like all this abomination, make it desolate, and all the creation and the Bible code and all these different things. And this is what's going to save you. This is what's going to get you salvation. These things, those things are good. Those things are good to know. It's what's going to get us in the kingdom. This stuff right here. I don't know about you, brother, but I feel it. I feel you. So thank you again. Brother Isaiah Brown, Brother Nakomi, for a great job, man. Out of Nation of Peace in Minneapolis, man. Great job. Great job stepping up. Subscribe, man. Big ups on that. And brother Isaiah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for sharing that. Like you said, that's for me. That was for you. But you shared that with us. Like the Bible code. That's for Nakomi, but he shared it with us.
Amen.
You know, we be thinking that, you know, the lessons that we get, we supposed to just, you know, some people think we just supposed to put them out there. We just be teaching people. No, the Lord be talking to us. And then he put it in our hearts to share it to whoever want to hear it. You know, that's that me first thing, man. That's why I said that sword got two edges on it. One for me and one for you. You see, my blood supposed to be first on the sword looking for the healing. And once you hear it, then you're supposed to be corrected.
Yeah.
No, this is the stuff that saves you. This is the stuff, this is the good stuff. This is the stuff that'll keep you out the lake. Out of outer darkness, that darkness that will never see the light of day again. This will save you from that. Get your thoughts under control. Fear God and keep his commandments. Bring your body under subjection. Fear God and keep his commandments. At least you find yourself at enmity against God. And he inside your head saying, oh, you're departing from me. The living God, me, and my blood. Like we used to say back in the 80s, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
When you got that in 87, I was just born.
I think it was just a little bit. It probably was right then and there, or maybe just a little bit before you. I don't know. I got to go check that Teddy Riley. Anyway, great precept, Brother Isaiah Brown, out of Spirit of Meekness and Bible study class out of Peoria. Big up. Big up on this one.
Go, Isaiah. Go, Isaiah.
Blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's the deal. Big ups on that, man. Keeping your mind under subjection to Christ, brother. Big ups. And with that being said, thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone here at the Sounds of Living Waters. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, oh, Sister Rhea, thank you for keeping this this lesson flowing beautifully,
amen.
Flawless,
amen.
No hiccups.
Amen.
She's a professional.
Yeah, yeah. He said thank you. So, hey, that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bibles. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, bro.
Shalom, bro.
Shalom, y'all.
Shalom,
y'all.
Shalom, y'all.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
I think I changed.